Good morning. Thank you for coming. It looks like it's going to be a wonderful day weather-wise, and I pray that all of us will enjoy the day. We've gotten a lot of rain here recently. Just a few droughts will cure you of the often malady of complaining about the rain. So we're glad that we've had it. Do you know the secret? You say, well, preacher, what secret is that? Well, the secret that Paul talked about in that passage that we just read. Do you know the secret? What does it mean to be a Christian? Well, it means to be a believer, as the kind of the dog tag says there. It means also to be a disciple. It also means to be saved. That's what it means. But I want to talk to you this morning about something that often we do not associate with being a Christian. But it is right at the heart of what it means to be a Christian. And that is, it means to be contented. Think about it. It means to be contented. If I am not contented, either I am not a Christian, or I am not using the power of Christ to be contented. Now, I know if you're like me, and you are, and I am like you, that's going to be guilt-producing on some level. Because all of us at times have not been contented. And we want to talk about that this morning. But I again stress, to be contented means to be a Christian. And Christians learn contentment. And so this morning I want to talk to you about contentment. Do you know the secret? The secret of how to be contented. Now let's take our text again. Max read it very well, but I want to emphasize it again with certain highlights that we will focus upon. From Philippians 4, 10 through 13. Now, let me set the scene a little bit. Paul is in prison, in a Roman prison, we believe, and he is writing, if you will, a thank you letter to the Philippian Christians who had supplied his physical needs while he was in prison. But he wants them to understand what his attitude is toward even being in prison and being deprived. And he wants them to know about his mental state. But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly. Not a phrase that we would commonly apply or think of first of being in prison. Would you? But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at last you have revived your concern for me. Indeed, you were concerned before, but you lacked opportunity. Not that I speak from want, for I have learned to be content in whatever circumstances I am. What a statement. Do you see the power in that statement? That one can make being in prison for Christ and saying, you know what I've learned, not only through this experience, but through others similar and even unlike it in life, I have learned to be content in whatever circumstances I am. Can you see the freedom in that? No matter what happens, you don't lose your sense of contentment. What a power. I want that for my life. And I know you probably do as well. Let's read more. I know how to get along. He's going to explain his statement. I know how to get along with humble means. And I also know how to live in prosperity. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of being filled and going hungry. Both of having abundance and suffering need. I can do all things through Him who strengthens me. I want to ask three questions for our lesson today. And these are the same questions that I have emailed to each of you on your email address for today's discussions. And also we have some questions on the back, both in English and Spanish, if you didn't get the email. Here they are. What is contentment? Two, how do you get it? Three, why are we discontented? Let's talk about that this afternoon as well. Now, let me try to give you some ammunition to fuel your conversations today. Let's start with contentment. What is it? Bluebell ice cream. First time I've gotten an amen in over a month. Bluebell ice cream. But not just Bluebell ice cream. Most of you are too young to remember. Some of you will remember. But remember an old advertising campaign that Bluebell put out? They say, we had the most contented cows in the world. And there was the picture of the cow. This is one I went online and found this picture. They just were standing in the pasture and just chomping down, just eating the grass. And they said, we have the most contented cows in the world, and they give us the best milk to make the ice cream. Well, there's a lot of truth in that. I then went to the dictionary, first of all, an English dictionary, found this. It means satisfied, contained, as the contented person's desires are bound by what he or she already has. You got it? You're satisfied with what you got. Or the status of your health. Or in life. But then I also went to the Greek and I found that the Greek word is two words. And they are self plus sufficient. In other words, self-sufficient. Wanting or having need of nothing. Or if you will, I'm going to just get it. I have enough. You have enough? You have enough? You say, well, preacher, yeah, but... Well, then... This isn't easy, is it? We got a lot to think about and talk about today. The reason I decided to talk about this, I was puzzling over what to say at the end of this year. And I kind of reflected back upon 2022. I don't know about you, but again, I think I do. 2022 has been hard. Can I get an amen? I mean, it's been hard. Some of us have had COVID. Though that wasn't a big deal, at least in my case. Some of us have had other illnesses. Shingles. I'm almost done with it, I think. Others have had more serious situations to deal with. The economy hadn't been all that great, and maybe that's affected our employment or our work status. We've had to deal with a lot of things in 2022. And now Christmas is coming, and oftentimes we're dealing with what to get this person, the children, how much, how little, this person, this, that, the other. And I thought, are we going to lose our contentment over the situations that have come out in this year? Can I say I've had enough? I have enough. I am contented. And then I begin to look. I said, well, I wonder what other people say about contentment. And so here are some quotes. that may kind of help us a little bit. You know, often people who are not even believers in God can be wise in certain ways, such as this from Dale Carnegie. It isn't what you have or who you are or where you are or what you are doing that makes you happy or unhappy. It is what you think about. What you think about that situation. He who is not contented with what he has would not be contented with what he would like to have. Socrates. This issue's been around for all time. Learning to be contented. Also from Immanuel Kant, we are not rich by what we possess, but by what we can do without. Oh, that's a different way of looking at it. Are you absolutely just in turmoil that you don't have enough? You gotta have this or that. Further, this from Epictetus. Wealth consists not in having great possessions, but in having few wants. And then also from Chesterton, G.K., true contentment is a thing as active as agriculture. It is the power of getting out of any situation all that is in it. It is arduous, and it is rare. And then finally, whatever we are waiting for, peace of mind, contentment, grace, the inner awareness of simple abundance, it will surely come to us, but only when we are ready to receive it with an open and grateful heart. I like that. Well, how do you get it? What does God tell us of how we get contentment? Well, let's look at Paul's credentials. Paul said he had it. What explains Paul having this level of contentment? Let's look at some of his credentials. They are really, really arresting. From 2 Corinthians 11, 23 through 30. Now, let me set the scene for this because you'll not quite understand it if you don't understand the background. There were people in Corinth who'd come along after Paul. Paul had helped establish the church there and had worked with it, and there were problems there. And he had dealt with those problems through messengers in likely this second letter of Corinthians. And they were there who were saying that Paul was not really an apostle. They were criticizing him and trying to tear him down. And so Paul, if you will, feels necessity to defend himself. Note how he does it. Are they, these who are criticizing me, are they servants of Christ? I speak as if insane. In other words, I don't want to have to do this. But here we go. More so in what? In far more labors, in far more imprisonments, beaten times without number, often in danger of death. 5 times I've received the Jews 39 lashes. 5 times. 3 times I was beaten with rods. 1 I was stoned. 3 I was shipwrecked. A night and a day I've spent in the deep. I've been on frequent journeys, in dangers from rivers, dangers from robbers, dangers from my countrymen, dangers from the Gentiles, dangers in the city, dangers in the wilderness, dangers on the sea, dangers among false brethren. I have been in labor and hardship through many sleepless nights, in hunger and thirst, often without food, in cold and exposure. Apart from such external things, there is the daily pressure on me of concern for all the churches. Who is weak without my being weak? In other words, empathizing, sympathizing with. Who is led into sin without my intense concern? If I have to boast, I will boast of what pertains to my weaknesses. He just listed them. Those are my credentials. But yet he says, I'm contented with my life. Wow. How'd he get that way? How'd he ultimately develop that kind of powerful spirit we want to consider? Now let's go back to our text, see if we can pick out a few things. But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly. Note where he learned to rejoice in the Lord. Because he knew the Lord, because he had obeyed the Lord. He rejoiced in the Lord greatly. That now at last you have revived your concern for me, talking to the Philippian Christians who had sent aid to him. Indeed, you were concerned before, but you lacked opportunity. Not that I speak from want, for I have learned to be content in whatever circumstances I am. How do you get it? Contentment? You got to learn it. And this word learn means to understand from whatever source. All those things that he listed that had occurred to him, that had happened to him, in which he had been abused in many situations. What did he get from it? He learned contentment. He learned the power of the cross. He learned the power of Christ. But he goes on. In whatever circumstances I am. Wow. What's the future going to be like? Do you look forward to it with anticipation and with gusto and, oh, we just can't wait? Or is it kind of with dread? Well, I guess it all depends on what you think's coming or what might be coming. I want to depart from our lesson for a moment. I don't know that I've ever done this, but I'm going to try. Thank you so much for all the prayers for my recovery from shingles. And it's almost complete, I think. Yes, I've been vaccinated twice. For me, it didn't work. But I recommend, from all what they say, it seems to be a good practice. In fact, I was encouraged to do it by Tim. To do it the second time. I've had both series, but it's not 100%. But in the course of my seeing, I've been seeing a cardiologist recently, and they have discovered that I have what is called a flutter, which is an arrhythmia of the heart. And there is a projected procedure that we can use in about a month, a little less than a month, in which they will attempt to shock the heart back into rhythm. I'm grateful that there is something that can be done. Mainly it is reflected in my life in that it robs you of energy and you get out of breath more easily. But it is something I'm having to deal with, the uncertainty of it. And so I just simply ask for your prayers. Let God's will be done. And I want to learn even a greater level of contentment through it, as many of you have, through dealing with your particular ailments or illnesses. Okay? You know as much as I know, so I'm done with it. Okay? When I learn more, I'll tell you more, even though it's hard for me to do that. But thank you so much for your concern and your prayers. But note, whatever circumstances, we don't know, do we? But Christ is there in whatever circumstances that we have to deal with. Further, I know how to get along with humble means. Sometimes that's really hard, isn't it? And I also know how to live in prosperity. Sometimes that's even harder to deal with prosperity. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret. And this is interesting. This word learned is different from the one that was used before. This one means by experience or initiation. You got to be initiated into this level of learning that will help you to have contentment. It was used to describe in the pagan cults when they would be initiated into a particular cult. Well, if you will, if you want this level of contentment that Paul is talking about, you've got to use the various situations of your life to initiate you into learning this greater and deeper level of being able to say, I got enough. I have enough. And note the secret. This means something that had been formerly hidden but now has been revealed. Often the gospel by Paul's letters is used, spoken of, the secret. More hidden in the Old Testament, now fully revealed. Further, the secret of being filled and going hungry, both of having abundance and suffering need. I can do all things. Now, hold on. I hear on TV occasionally people quoting this passage and they want to be an NBA all-star. And if I give my life to Christ, I know I can do it. Folks, that's not what he's talking about. I can do all things needed to be content. That's what he's talking about. He isn't talking about flying through the air and jumping tall buildings. This is how. Through him who strengthens me in Christ is the power to be content. In Christ is the power to be content. Well, how do you get it? You have to want it. You have to want to be able to say, I have enough. I'm not going to allow this to tear me up and ruin my life. You have to want it. First, you have to learn it, as we've indicated. And you have to learn it by being initiated into the experience of experiencing it. Third, you learn it from those who have it, such as Paul and others, Christ, of course, and others among us. In a future lesson, I'm going to talk about the value of a spiritual family, the church, to help us to learn contentment. Knowing we're not alone. We're all in this boat together. And learning together. You learn it from those who have it. Thank you, Troxel. Thank you, Kelia. And I don't single them out to embarrass them or leave others out. Thank you, Morris. You're helping us. Watching how you're dealing with life. That's what the family is about. Just being with one another, supporting one another. We can learn it by watching others. Fourth, you learn it by experience. Being initiated into life's perplexities. And fifth, you are in Christ. Christ becomes the all of you in the way you think, in the way you act. To illustrate that, gonna need a little help, Ray. Fence. There we go. Which am I? Thermometer? What does the thermometer do? Tells you what your temperature is at a point in time. Measures the circumstances right then. It tells you whether or not you're hot or cold, your body. But what about a thermostat? A thermostat you set to where you want the temperature to be. Which one am I in this circumstance? Which one are you? Just looking at the circumstances and, oh, or Christ has helped me set the thermostat. And it may be up, it may be down. But over time, I know in whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I have committed unto Him until that last day. I may not know a lot of things that song says, but I know Him. And much of what David reminded us of, His kindness, His love of us, we know that. And He will be with us. Contentment. Well, we ask a final question. Why are we discontented? Am I the only person who's been discontented at some point in your life? Why? Well, we do not understand that contentment is a choice. Well, but, you know, look at the circumstances, John. Yeah. Look at Paul's. Look at others among us. It's a choice. Problem solving, often looking outward instead of inward. In other words, if we could just get them to do better, if we could just make more money, if we could just have better health, if we could just find a wife or a husband, if we could just have children, if we could, if, instead of inward. How am I going to deal with this? With Christ. How is Christ going to help me deal with this? Happiness. Often we concentrate on circumstances rather than character. Circumstances. Christ is about character. It'll help us through the circumstances of the various ups and downs of life. Further, Christ is not in us or has not matured in us. That's a possibility, and that's true of all of us at various stages of our growth in Christ. This is one thing that we have to understand of working in a church, that we're all at different levels of maturity and immaturity, of challenges and of temptation. Christ is not in us or has not matured in us. So what's the course? Let's continue to help one another to mature in Christ. Remember, we have to be initiated into this level of knowing, of being able to get to this point, of being able to say, I have enough. Failure to see the power of Christ via the cross. We focus on it every first day of the week. Hopefully we're seeing the power of the cross. Further, we have not been willing to be initiated into the secret of contentment. That's why we are discontented. We haven't learned that secret yet. And why? inevitably it involves suffering. Inevitably. And that's hard. But doing together will help us. Look at how Paul put it. Now I rejoice in my sufferings for your sake. A lot of you parents could write that in regard to your children. You rejoice in the hard times that you had, maybe raising your kids or some, because it was for them. You suffered for others. Paul writes that of Christians. And in my flesh I do my share on behalf of his body, the body of Christ, which is the church, in filling up what is lacking in Christ's affliction. Have you ever thought about that? That Paul speaks that there's something even lacking in the afflictions that Christ suffered. You know what they are? Our suffering because of the same reasons. That was his plan. Remember? I suffered and you're going to suffer, he tells his disciples, because it's going to be curative. It's going to strengthen you. You're going to quit being so much a thermometer and become a thermostat. You're going to learn things. You're going to be initiated into this level of contentment. Of this church, I was made a minister according to the stewardship from God bestowed on me for your benefit, so that I might fully carry out the preaching of the Word of God. That is the mystery which has been hidden from the past. He's talking about the gospel. Ages and generations, but has now been manifested to his saints, to whom God willed to make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. What a thrill it must have been to Paul to see the power of Christ in those that he taught. As they matured and learned to deal with the hard ups and downs of life. We proclaim him, admonishing every man and teaching every man with all wisdom, so that we may present every man complete in Christ. For this purpose also I labor, striving according to his power, which mightily works within me. My only hope is you, Jesus. My only hope is you. From early in the morning to late at night, my only hope is so in conclusion, am I a thermometer or a thermostat? Is there contained within me a power that sets my spiritual temperature to contentment because of Christ? Am I willing to be initiated into the secret of contentment? Is Jesus Christ in me and maturing? How does this process work? That'll have to wait another time. But I'll spend some more time later in the weeks coming, because I want to talk to you about someone to love. Brothers and sisters in Christ. Something to do. Reaching the lost. And somewhere to go. Heaven itself, and other things that come from the book of Philippians. We close with, again, this quote. Whatever we are waiting for, peace of mind, contentment, grace, the inner awareness of simple abundance, It will surely come to us, but only when we are ready to receive it with an open and grateful heart. You ready? Please come to the feast. Let's stand.